My name is Amanda Stanley. I am the Director of Communications for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Wow. And how did that happen for you?
I have been a motorsports fan my whole life. And so when I had to pick a course of study in college, I looked at my dad and told him I was going to major in public relations and communications so I can work in motorsports.
Oh, how cool.
And finally got them to hire me.
So did your family, your dad, take you here to the Motor Speedway when you
were... I actually brought my dad here.
No.
Yes. So... Now, my dad is a race fan. He grew up a race fan as well. Raced go-karts as a kid, always had drag cars. So racing was a part of my life as a kid. But my mom is not a fan. And so...
Have you converted her yet?
No, she's a lost cause. My dad and I have given up, which is fine. She doesn't have to love it.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll forgive her. So he never brought me because she wasn't a fan and didn't want to go along. And we usually did stuff as a threesome. So we just never came together. He had been years ago. And then when I moved to Indianapolis, I brought him to the 500 with me. And he's been my plus one since I... Every year we came, and then when I got the job, obviously can't bring him anymore because I'm working, but
right.
We had a lot of fun out here.
That's really cool. So, again, what made you choose this?
I think motorsports is such an interesting sport. Mm-hmm. You've got the drivers that are truly athletes, and a lot of people don't realize the physical nature of driving these cars and what goes into that. But then you've got the science and the technology that goes into making the cars run. And I just think it's one of those things that captures your attention and you can't get away from. And I like people and I like talking. And so working in public relations and being able to share something that I love with new and old fans, there's just no better place to work.
Part of it is that freneticness of the cars in the background and all the people, and the energy is a high.
There's nothing like race day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Even as a fan, you don't see what goes on behind the scenes to make largest single day sporting event happen.
It's seamless.
Thank you. We hope it is. But yes, and it takes every person here to make that happen.
And again, and you're talking about how many human beings converging on one venue. How many?
For the 2023 Indianapolis 500, we had more than 330,000 fans here for the Indianapolis 500.
So it follows your motels are sold out and airports are crazy.
The entire city celebrates the Indianapolis 500.
Wow.
We couldn't do it without the town of Speedway, the city of Indianapolis, the people who own homes around the Speedway. We can't park that many people in the Speedway.
So people are parking on their lawns.
They park in their yards. They've got traditions. You know, people have parked in the same yards for years and years, and it's a part of the tradition. They know that they're going to park in that person's yard.
And they probably became friends.
And they're friends. They've reserved the space for the next year. It's a part of the tradition.
Isn't that interesting?
It's fascinating.
It's this whole culture, a whole way of living.
Everyone who comes to the Indianapolis 500 has their story. Mm-hmm. They have their traditions. They have the seats they sit in. They have the people they come with, their superstitions, the way they watch the race, where they watch the race, what their favorite part is, and that's what makes it so special. There is truly something for everyone out here. Whether you're in your 20s and you're watching the race from the snake pit and don't really know that there's a race going on because you're listening to the EDM concert, or you've sat in the same seats that were passed down to you from your grandparents, everyone's got their own unique story.
Interesting. Right over your shoulder, they're the legendary box seats that are covered and in the shade. And
they're not always in the shade, but there's some that have better shade on race day than others. It's a long day. Everyone gets a little sun on race day.
Well, it's kind of a perfect time of year. Literally, the stage is drawn of summertime by Memorial Day.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people don't realize, you know, everyone knows Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the Indianapolis 500, but that's not the only thing that happens out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the Brickyard Weekend, which has been a triple header with IndyCar and NASCAR and Xfinity Series running. We'll have IMSA back this year, so sports cars will be back on track. And then OEMs and manufacturers will use the track to test and showcase their cars or do performance driving schools with longtime owners. There's something on track more often than there's not.
Yeah, I think there's performance driving school BMW today,
They have the track right now, they are on track working with their clients and sales team and showing off their products and cars. And that happens throughout the year with BMW, with Chevrolet, with Ferrari.
Literally something going on at the Speedway every day.
Almost every day. There's very few days where there's not something on track. I mean, obviously in the winter we have to contend with Indiana weather, and so we'll shut down depending on weather and how long we can get away with it.
Mm-hmm. But is there any winter activity that only takes place in the winter here?
There's a lot of prep for the next year because there's not a lot of chance to do work on the track when there's something on track.
There you go.
So you'll find a lot of track prep. We'll be doing planning on the PR side with the marketing campaign and what the slogan is going to be and what the graphics look like and what we need to capture from the drivers while they've got some free time to get ready for the next year, to set the schedule and build in where we can do track maintenance and get things ready for the next year. So we never really shut down. Mm-hmm. There may not be on track action when it gets cold and dark out here, but we're still working behind the scenes to make sure that this place is ready for everything in the next race season.
So they're like archaeological expeditions on the racetrack. Somebody earlier was telling me about this used to be a brick paved racetrack.
Yes, when the track was built, the entire track surface was bricks. So I always, when you're trying to explain to people what that must be like, you've got a car that was built in 1909, so we're not looking at good shocks here or high performance tires.
Super high speed.
And they're going to do 500 miles on 2.5 miles of bricks.
Wow.
So it was not a smooth ride. Mm-hmm. It was not a quick ride. That initial race took 6 hours and 42 minutes.
Wow.
It was a long haul endurance race.
So a little nuance, somebody was pointing out that at the racetrack where it ends right out front of us, across from the winner's circle, there's a little band of brick.
Yes, so when they finally decided to resurface the track, they did maintain a yard of bricks, and they're the original bricks at the start-finish line. So that is an iconic place at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And the original bricks are under the rest of the surface of the track in most places.
They're still out there.
They're underneath. So probably what you were talking about was the core sample.
Every once in a while,
to make sure that the track is in good shape, our facilities and operations team will do a core sample, and you can see the different layers. And those bricks are still down there underneath the original. They're still there. Obviously, at the yard of bricks, we've raised them up so that they're level with the surface of the rest of the track. But they're the original bricks. Same bricks that the drivers drove over in 1909.
I love it. So again, when did it first open?
The track was built in 1909. The first race was in 1911.
Okay.
I think the first event was technically a balloon race, but the first IndyCar race, the IndyCar as we would know it today, was in 1911.
Okay.
So the first 500 was in 1911.
Throughout the 20th century, was it post-World War II when it really exploded?
I think that it was always, the Indianapolis 500 was an international sweepstakes race.
It
always had prestige.
Slowly grew in momentum.
It's run every year since 1911, with the exception of a few years around World War I and World War II. And obviously as the technology has evolved, as the series has grown, you know, when you look back in those early years, that was the race. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a series like what we have with IndyCar now, where they're running 17 races for a season. The technology has changed immensely. It continues to improve safety-wise, performance-wise, and that will continue to always grow and change the sport.
Well, I think for myself, you know, coming in from the outside, I've never been to Indianapolis. I spent quite a bit of time in the state, north and south, but never here. And so I naively thought, well, this giant race takes place on Memorial Day, and then they kind of mothball it and open back up next year.
You are not the only one who thinks that.
Yeah, how wrong could I be?
Right, and you know, we want our fans to know that too, that there's other things to come out here and enjoy. Come out for Brickyard Weekend. NASCAR's fun to watch on the track. When NASCAR originally started running here in 1994, they were on the oval, but we have a full road course here.
Oh, wow.
So they do the road course now. Mm-hmm. That may change in future years, but it's different. It's exciting to see. It's a different viewpoint. IMSA will run on the road course. So with the IMSA race, fans can camp in the infield. You can set up your camper and look out over the track for the 3-day weekend and experience a whole different angle of the speedway.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's vintage racing out here. We've had the Autonomous Challenge out here in the past. The season's a little different each year depending on what's coming out, but there's always something, and we love having fans who will come out for everything, mm-hmm. that they're a fan of the Speedway as much as they are of IndyCar or NASCAR, and they just want to be here.
Destination,
yes.
In itself. So, over your shoulder, I can see downtown Indianapolis.
Yes.
The skyline, the high rise. But, part, I'm sure, because of this Speedway, there's a whole separate town that's called
Speedway. Yes, we
the city of Speedway.
We are unique in that when you look at some other speedways, racetracks, they're often out in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. because you have to find a big enough parcel of land to build a racetrack with parking and all the amenities yeah. you need. We were lucky in that the track was built and then the town and the city grew up around.
Racetrack birthed the town.
To a certain extent,
yeah.
yes. Yeah, I don't, I mean, maybe Speedway would exist. I don't know, it'd be called Speedway
yeah.
in some capacity if mm-hmm. the Indianapolis Motor Speedway wasn't here, but we are very closely tied together
so
in history and tradition and...
And even destination, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. yeah. You know, the town of Speedway is an amazing partner with us, and we work with them to celebrate all the events we have here, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, during the month of May, you can't go down Main Street and Speedway and not see checkered flags and racing flags and pictures of drivers and memorabilia and mm-hmm. things going on. But, you know, we did a hauler parade to kick off Brickyard Weekend where the NASCAR haulers drove down Main Street
oh, wow.
and did a fan party.
Okay.
We're going to do a street fest leading into IMSA. They truly lean in and celebrate what it means to be next to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and they're an amazing partner.
We didn't stop in Speedway, but it follows that you'd have a lot of motels or a lot of places for people to stay.
There are great restaurants and bars and cute shops and fun things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of hotels in Speedway. It's a small town. There are some places to stay, you know, Airbnbs even, and people mm-hmm. who rent out their homes, things like that. You know, downtown Indianapolis is still a great place. I mean, it's a convention city in a lot of ways, so hotel rooms are definitely an amenity we can provide here. And while the town of Speedway is right next to the track, the city of Indianapolis is not far, and they're an amazing partner as well.
Yeah.
We kick off the month of May downtown on the Circle, and checkered flags are not hard to find in May.
I love it. So you guys here, how do you assist in people? Let's say I'm out in California, I've never been here before, but I'm going, man, I want to go to that race event. Do you have planning stuff on your website?
Absolutely, yes. Please visit our website if you have any interest at all. We have Know Before You Go, maps, seating charts. There's editorial content if you just want to read about it and learn more. All of that is on our website. Our ticket team is also amazing. If once you dive in, you're confused or not sure where mm-hmm. you should sit or what's available to sit, give them a call. They're more than happy to make sure that you get the amenities that you need mm-hmm. to have the best time possible out
That's
here at the Speedway.
Really cool. And the website is?
It's IMS.com.
That's way too easy.
Way too easy.
Yeah.
We're not trying to make it hard. We want people to come out here.
I love it.
My name is Amanda Stanley, and I am the Director of Communications for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Cue the racetrack.
I wish I had that kind of power. We almost get used to the noise
yeah.
working out here every day, that you hear race cars most days. And then kind of the race season ends, winter comes, and it's quiet. That first day there's cars on track, we're all like little kids who get to go outside for recess. There's just something about it that first day when you hear them back. It's like, okay, now it's real. So they're on the road course too, so you can see
yeah.
coming down the middle of the track as well.
Are these part of the BMW
yeah.
performance racer?
Right. Yep. Yeah, they're doing different testing, different activations with fans, and
so those are all stock.
Some of them are, some of them won't be. They have it for several days, and they have a whole
different
categories of different things they're doing and trying and testing, and it's always interesting to see what everyone uses with their track time out here.
So, you haven't gotten bored yet, huh?
Never. No, they're stuck with me.
Amanda, awesome. Thank you for a fun morning at the
Thank
racetrack.
You.
Yeah.
I'll show you around a few places.
Yeah. All right. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Indiana. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.